Your On the Mark podcast is loading now. The On the Mark podcast is sponsored by the Sunbury Motor Company, family-owned dealership since 1915, 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia on Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. News Radio 1070 WKOK presents On the Mark. It's a chance to voice your opinion on the events that affect life in the Susquehanna Valley. Now, here are your hosts for On the Mark, Mark Lawrence and Ben Reichle.
Greetings. Welcome on board WKOK's live telephone talk show, On the Mark. I'm Mark Lawrence. Mr. Ben Reichle is directly across me. Good conservative. Fine local businessman. Rob Centers on the other side of the glass. I don't know what his politics are. He just answers the phone and does a fabulous job at it. So we're always grateful for that. What are you saying, buddy?
He's a Phillies and Philadelphia fanatic.
He's a fanatic.
Sports,
okay.
Sports in Philadelphia, right?
Yep, that is true. All right, so there's Ben Reich. I finally heard from him. Pull that mic a lot closer to you, henceforth into the future. All right, On the Mark, a sponsor of the Sunbury Motor Company. Check them out at sunburymotors.com. Our telephone number is 570-743-9565. That's 570-743-WKOK. You can email us at onthemark@wkok.com, and you can text us about at 70236. Always include the keyword OTM. A lot of things are in the news lately. Folks want to talk about the Transformers movie comes out today. There's Campfire Sunday at St. Matt's Lutheran Church in Shamokin Dam on Sunday at 6:30. Buggy Day is tomorrow. So those are the big things folks have been talking about all week on the show. Ben, you missed it. So.
Buggy Day.
Yeah, Buggy Day.
Was that Mifflinburg?
Oh, come on. What, do you live in a cave? Of course it's Mifflinburg. It's the place where you have Buggy Day is okay. Buggy Town.
Oh, good for them. Okay. And that's not insects, right?
Nope, it's not buggy. Okay. In fact, there's no bugs in Mifflinburg during Buggy Day. They stay in. So, all right, so those are some of the things. Plus, let's see, we got Buggy Day and other celebrations, and the president got indicted.
Post-graduation celebrations?
Everybody's out.
Everyone's done.
I think Danville graduated, and they were the last bunch.
Okay. You feel good about going into the summer here?
I feel great.
Oh, good.
How do you feel about going into summer? You nervous?
Hey, if you feel good, I feel good for you.
Are you nervous?
Nope.
Okay.
With you in the catbird seat, I feel like I can fly blind.
Oh, okay. Uh-oh. We got to talk. All right. To be continued. All right. Stan wants to say something right off the bat here. I assume he's going to talk about the president. Actually deserves to be indicted. So go ahead, Stan.
Actually, no.
Oh.
No, I wasn't.
You're talking about Buggy Day?
That's harsh, but anyways. The fine governor of California, Gruesome Newsom, he proposes, you know, just to stay relevant, at least in his own mind, that there should be the 28th Amendment to basically set age limits on firearms purchases, tell us what kind of guns we can and can't purchase, some sort of background check thing, and I forget what the other thing was. Waiting periods. That was the other thing. Should be waiting periods on to exercise your rights. That's Newsom's grand scheme of things to stay relevant.
What?
So,
well,
his
lack of credibility within the state of California. Remember, he was on a recall a couple years ago. If you're a Democrat and you get recalled in California, you're pretty bad, which we saw that in Gray Davis, and that gave us Arnold Schwarzenegger. Newsom has little to no credibility within his state, and he has to go outside to try to find some political relevance.
He wants to be president.
Well, you know, and Mark, you want to be.
Of course, I want to be president. So
you want to be CEO and chairman of the board of Fox News, right? Or I'm sorry, CNN.
Right. Hey, can you imagine Fox News with the reporters they already have on board? Bring some liberal reporters on staff. You could make a pretty good objective. You know, teach them how to be objective.
They have liberals and moderates on staff.
What? Come on now. I guess I'm not watching enough.
Yes, I don't think you are. But Stan, really, the misunderstanding of us back in this area, and it's nothing. Being in business in California, being out there in California, having a relative who was a press secretary for the governor's office in California in the 90s when they did elect Republicans and Democrats, People who don't understand California, it is a disaster out there. It is such a disaster that the mainstream media won't report how bad it is. So Newsom has to go outside of California to get his political fix.
Yeah, it's a train wreck. I understand that.
No, no, a train wreck. A train wreck would be like a Sunday picnic. No, no, it is a disaster. It is almost nuclear toxic.
Unless it was the East Palestine train wreck.
Well, yes, that's what California is.
Now, who banned Stan? Who banned assault weapons this week? Was it Minnesota?
I hadn't heard anything like that. I know they were talking
about something. But Stan, exactly, Stan is. Has an assault weapon ever been really defined, or have we let the mainstream media define an assault weapon?
Well, last time I checked, if you pick up a rock and you strike somebody about the head with it,
yes,
that's an assault weapon. So, I mean, anything you assault somebody with would be an assault weapon. Now, I guess the military has a technical term for it, something that you would use to, you know, charge the other side, you know, to engage and all that, but most of the time it's a select fire weapon, which means it can be fired in semi-automatic mode or full automatic mode, which means you pull the trigger once and it empties the magazine until you stop pulling the trigger. So that would be the technical term of an assault weapon, which as a, you know, private individual, civilian, we for the most part can own. Now, that's being said, a Class 3 weapon would be a full automatic weapon or a suppressed, or suppressed falls under the same category. And you can purchase those. It is legal. You have to go jump through hoops, get the background check from the feds, 6 to 8 months, maybe up to a year, to they okay everything, get fingerprinted the whole nine yards, and you can own one. There are, you know, thousands of people across the country that own them, and they do not use them to commit crimes.
Yeah, it was Washington State.
Oh, so, yeah, that's right.
Let's see. I'm trying to see what they're called. What exactly they call it? Okay, it bans guns with certain features, such as semi-automatic rifles shorter than 30 inches of the entire gun, not just the barrel. Those that have a detachable magazine or a fixed magazine. Let's see. If I have a 7.60 with the shorter barrel, is that would the whole gun be less than 30 inches?
No, I don't think so. That's a pump gun.
Oh, that's true. That's not semi-automatic anyway.
Does the 30-inch ban change the term "meet my little friend"?
And nope, it doesn't. It also says the magazines of capacity or 10 or more would be banned, and it also says any barrel equipped with a flash suppressor or shrouded barrel. Shrouded barrel.
Flash suppressor and shroud. Oh, my.
Oh, brother.
Yeah, that's all that is. It's all cosmetics. You know, the semi-automatic firearm has been around since the early 1900s. Actually, I think in the 1890-something, the one Mauser was developed. Mauser pistol was developed. I'm not sure the exact date. It's 1898 or 96, something like that.
Well, Stan, going back to...
It's more than 100 years.
Yeah, going back to what you said, though, when will... And I hope it does happen. When will people understand that good people with guns do good things, meaning they treat their guns as a asset? And if we do not understand what criminals do, and we see our legal system seems not to understand, we will have problems with things like guns, things like knives, as you said, things like rocks. It's a matter of
personal
accountability.
We've had a rock problem for a while. I think there's a guy named Goliath who's concerned about rocks.
Mm.
Yeah,
I seen a meme today about that. Was it Cain killed Abel with a rock? Correct? Is that the River Merritt story?
Okay.
Cain killed Abel with a rock.
That
so it was a person killed
callers.
Using a rock for a bad thing, and then a rock was used for a good thing. David killed Goliath, so it's not the rock.
it's the operator.
Well, it was a slingshot, wasn't it?
No, it was
he
a
used
sling
rock in a slingshot.
Yeah.
So
okay.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah, it's not the rock.
Going back to our conversation, though, about...
Gavin Newsom?
No, what is a...
assault weapon.
Assault weapon. Would you say that there's potential that some left-wing liberals and their verbiage could be considered an assault weapon?
Yeah, some of them cause a lot of damage and create riots and all kinds of stuff that's happened. You know, the whole Black Lives Movement was a lot of words until they started using his words to commit violence against communities and other people and the cops and all that.
And follow the money with Black Lives Matter, and I think that matters.
Aren't they going bankrupt?
Well, it looks like
the local
chapters are having problems getting money from the nationals, and you might want to ask, what has Black Lives Matter to improve the lives of blacks?
From everything I heard from blacks, nothing. So that's just, you know, what I've heard. You know, I don't know. I don't, you know, travel in those communities.
Well,
so
what do they know?
But Stan, the point about it, though, when you look at it, is when will we understand that legal ownership of firearms is in the Constitution, and 99% of the people, let's say 98% of the people who own guns, treat their guns in a manner that is lawful. There is a percentage that don't.
That's right. You know, the gun isn't the problem, it's the person using it.
And let's get really technical and say, let's go geographically. Let's look how urban people and guns interact compared to rural people and guns interacting.
Yeah, I mean, Chicago improves that state. So, I don't know. So, we'll have to wait and see how it happens.
Well, we're going to move on. Stan, have a good weekend. We're going to go
to the other
spectrum.
Trump's not guilty.
Okay, you got that.
Presumed innocent.
Thank you. That's helpful.
That in there. It's a farce. Bye.
That's going to save a lot of time.
Even Biden's presumed innocent, right?
So, no, not if you're listening to Fox News. All right. On the Mark is sponsored by the Sunbury Motor Company. Check him out at sunburymotors.com. Our phone number is now open, 570-743-9565. That's 570-743-9565. You can email us at onthemark@wkok.com, and you can text us at 70236, include the keyword OTM. I want to do what I always do on Friday, is just give you an overview of the Sunbury Motor Company so you know what all they entail. Of course, they're selling Fords, Hyundais, and Kias, brand new ones, so that's one of their big things. I got a ton of inventory these days. They even got some of the all-electric vehicles down there and a couple of hybrids, and so you can even order up a Lightning truck if you want to have an electric truck in the months ahead. But they are also a premier service provider for all mix of cars and trucks. So whether you have a tiny little lawnmower that won't start, or a big motorcycle, or a huge 18-wheeler, they can. Doesn't matter. If it uses gasoline or electricity to run, they can fix it. They have a large truck shop, a small truck shop, medium-sized car shop, large car, small car, every car-sized car shop, body shop, alignment shop, car wash, repair garage for everything, master towing service.
Detail shop.
Oh, yeah, they shine cars up just nicely up there. They'll take good care of you. Ford, Hyundai, and Kia. Tons of pre-owned vehicles as well. The quick lane is always there if you just need a quick oil change or you have to get your joints lubricated. They can do it at the quick lane on North 4th Street in Sunbury. Do cars still have ball joints, or are they gone?
Is it legal to say, can you say that?
It's too late. All right. Alphonse, Jason, Chris, Jeff, Ernie, Austin,
crew.
Tony.
Jeff, and it's the
Mark
deal still
Ben.
Stands. Go see Jeff Clock. If you drive a Sunbury Motors used or new car, and you buy that car, you do a test drive, you drive that car, you get a coupon to have a lunch at either Penn's Tavern or the Sunbury Sub Shop.
Ooh, good
so,
stuff. I forgot
so
about
go,
that.
Go take a test drive. You buy that day, you will get a little coupon from Mr. Clock that gives you a best subs in Sunbury and probably the one of the most picturesque places that you can have adult beverages and food on the Susquehanna River.
It was there Thursday night. Nobody was on the balcony. It's too smoky.
I thought they were serving smoked food.
Smoked salmon. Lox, too. All right. So we're going to take a quick break. We will come back. And we got a caller waiting, but we'll take more comers. 570-743-9565. Guns. Washington State bans assault rifles. They came up with a working definition they thought might help. And Stan says, no, it won't help. I'm kind of in Stan's camp here. I just don't think...
Mark, big difference in Washington between Spokane and Seattle.
Gotcha. Okay. To be continued. 570-743-9565.
Want to work for a stable yet growing company? Got it. Want to work for a family-owned business with over 100 years experience in taking care of customers and employees? Got it. Want to work for a leader in selling more cars and satisfying more customers? Got it. Who has all that? SMC Sunbury Motor Company is looking for technicians across all their departments. Whether you're an entry-level technician, an experienced technician, or someone looking for a career change, Sunbury Motors would love to hear from you. They're looking for technicians for their quick lane, car and light truck service, heavy truck service, body shop, and frame and alignment division. You can apply online at sunburymotors.com, in person at our North 4th Street location, or call Todd at 570-286-7746. Your new career of working on Fords, Kias, Hyundais, Western Star trucks, plus anything that fits in the door,
and some things that don't.
Join Sunbury Motors. Your new career is waiting for you.
All right, to be continued.
Look at this happy music here on a Friday.
Oh, yeah, Build Me Up Buttercup.
Hold it. Is Lynn Hall in there or is Rob Setter?
No, that's
Come
Rob.
On, Rob, it's Friday. It's Meat Friday, according
He's happy.
To Dan Patrick.
That's right. It'll be out at the Traeger. Yeah. All right, Eric, thank you so much for your patience. Please go right ahead. You're on the mark.
Good morning, gentlemen. Thank you for taking my call. So Stan calls in and you want to go ludicrous and talk about throwing rocks and so forth and have a good chuckle and say nothing will ever work and everything. But you know what, men? You know where they're not chuckling today? Nashville, Tennessee, Sandy Hook, Connecticut, Uvalde, Texas, Parkland, Florida, yes, and Nickel Mines, Pennsylvania. They're not chuckling there. They're still mourning the loss of the life of our young ones. And to say, you know, we'll throw our hands up or go ludicrous and say about throwing rocks and so forth, no. Did Washington State go too far, perhaps? I've been on the show many times with this topic. You know I'm a gun owner. Mark, I also own a 7600 Remington, which I use for hunting deer. It's a slide action capacity 5 rounds as per the game commission. Okay, I've got no problem with guns. I've got no problem with hunting. I'm a proud gun owner. But we have to say that there has to be some additional steps taken. And
okay, what are those steps?
And I said it here before. I said just like handguns in Pennsylvania, no one under the age of 21 should be able to buy any semi-automatic rifle, which has more than a 5-round capacity.
Does that include ex-military people? People 18 serve 2 years and get out?
There could be exceptions. I would say active military, Ben, and that's a very good point, because you're under 21, likely you haven't served your whole time in the military, right? 18, maybe 2 years. But those guys, when they come back on leave, right, they've been trained. They've mm-hmm. been through basic training. They're also under military authority.
Yeah, the ladies,
right?
Ladies
so
and
I,
men
I have
who
no
do that.
I have no problem with that. I have no problem with that. Because, again, they've gone beyond. And if they're someone who's really off-center and so forth, the military will, you know. But anyone who has a 4F out of the military, you know, that's, and I think Stan would agree, you know, mm-hmm. For psychological reasons, we have to be. But what we have to protect our kids, right? We have to take some steps.
Okay, Eric.
It's not funny. It's not funny to chuckle and be ludicrous about it.
Nobody's chuckling. What we're pointing out, though, is the accountability of the person. The person who knifes somebody, what just, I believe, happened in France, or the person who uses a rock to kill somebody, or a gun. But let me ask this. So we trust young adults, and your children, Eric, will be your children. My children will be my children, no matter what age they are. But I have a little benchmark. Once they get behind something that I think is as deadly as a gun used wrong, is a automobile. So at 16, we allow them to start driving with supervision. At 17, they can drive on their own. So we trust them with thousands of pounds of metal and plastic driving down the road, and they're accountable for their actions. If they speed, they get arrested. If they run a stop sign, they get arrested. But somebody who does all those things right, we don't allow them to own a firearm until they're 21? Or are you saying certain firearms?
Well, Ben, you bring up a very good point, because you cannot drive in Pennsylvania until you've gone how many hours under supervision?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
You cannot drive in Pennsylvania until you pass a test administered by the state police, right?
Yeah.
You cannot do that. But you can walk into a gun shop on your 18th birthday and buy an AR-40s whatever, and there's some minimal background checks, and you can buy 1,000 rounds of ammunition, and no one's going to bat an eye. Without any training, I mean, even the hunting tents may need to have a hunter safety course, but there's no requirements. One of the things I brought up on this show is that I think for those type of firearms, okay, let's sell them to people over 21, but then let's have a training period where they purchase the rifle, but the gun owner, the gun shop owner, then maintains it until they pass some sort of safety course with them or with another certified area. That also gives a waiting period and so forth. And it also gives a time where people who are around them can say, okay, is this guy or gal showing some sort of concern, further concern, and then tip off the authorities to do a deeper check.
Okay, so now, Eric, when setting that up in Marktopia, as Mark likes to live in sometimes,
let's stop using these side snide remarks.
They
let's
aren't side,
have a,
right.
a
who,
conversation. Who, you want to do utopians?
Who are these people that are going to do this? Is this retired state police? Is this another government bureaucracy that we set up to say, okay, you're capable, or hold it, you've had some problems in the past. You're 30 years old, but we think you still have some problems. Who are the people that are going to make those decisions? And what expertise do they have?
All right, go ahead, Eric.
Well, no gun shop owner wants to sell a weapon to someone who's going to take it and kill people with them. Okay, there's not a gun shop owner out there who wants that on their conscience, right? So the gun shop owner will sell the weapon and then make sure that the person has to sign up some sort of training course. The gun shop I use, the gentleman who owns it, does his own training courses, okay? And the course of that time, let's say three or four different training courses over a course of 3 or 4 weeks, okay? They can go there under the direction of that trained person to do gun training and go through that time. At the end of those 3 or 4 weeks, if everything's good, he passed the course, he's safe, there's no red flags, great. He has the weapon, no problem. But if something comes up, that says something's kind of hinky to the gun shop owner, it's like, boy, you know, I'm a little concerned now I would have sold this guy a weapon. Then they have the ability to file some sort of report for some sort of higher authorities to do a deeper dive into that person and some of their background to see if anything comes up, perhaps even doing an interview or something, okay? But only if, again, there's red flags show up after the purchase. That way, the regular person who has it, myself, you, or whatever, can have the weapon, and so they have it in 4 weeks instead of one day.
Well, Eric, I would agree. I agree in principle, but the implementation is where things fall through the cracks, and that happens in business. I mean, you were in management. You understand that. Somebody comes out with a new policy. Your boss comes in. I've been there where they come in and say, hey, we need a new policy. We like people to do this and do that. Okay, well, how are we going to implement that? Because these people are working remotely. Again, if we bring government into it, it seems to muddy the waters. On the private side, if you tie it in, it would be interesting to talk to a gun shop owner. I know Stan has it sort of as a, I don't want to say a hobby or a second job occupation, but to work to a gun shop owner and say, okay, is this practical? You own a gun shop. Is it practical for you then to also hire employees to be trainers? And are these trainers certified by the state? I mean, do you go like a code official and you check things? Because unfortunately, I would say if the private side can be more involved, if groups like the NRA or groups like Rights for Guns or Mothers Against Gun, you know, different groups can be involved with the implementation and putting that together, I think that has possibilities. But if it's going to be a government organization, I would say there's 75%, 80% chance that it won't work.
All right, we got to hit the road. Thank you so much, Eric. Well said. Appreciate your call. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, gentlemen. I appreciate the opportunity this morning. Thank you.
Yeah, much appreciated. All right, so we got
relevant information brought out to say, how can you improve gun ownership or the buying of guns? And there are, you want loopholes, but you do want some variants that, okay, somebody who
you
is
do
in the
want
military,
loopholes?
No, you don't. You do want loopholes properly, meaning that, okay, if you served in the
exceptions.
Military, well, you loopholes aren't a bad thing, meaning that it allows things that are practical. If you're 17 and you go in the Army, you graduate college and you go in the Army or the military of some sort, and you come out and you're 19, 20, and you can't buy a gun till you're 21, okay, there's an exception, you know, how you want to call a loophole. But on the other hand, again, beware when the government wants to help.
Right, and I think actually in the whole nation, you know, well, actually after there was just a shooting somewhere, maybe Richmond or wherever it was, but the NRA said still not yet, so we really don't have to have this conversation.
Well, the NRA has to get their heads out of their backside and realize they want to be relevant.
They said, it doesn't really matter. I think they said what's true, we're not there yet. If we kill more people in mass shootings in a daily basis, they'll consider it, but in the meantime, they say not yet.
Well,
so
again,
we're still not there.
My point in the NRA is, if you want to be relevant, you want to be part of the solution, because if you're not, you're part of the problem. But also, though, Mark, look at Chicago. Why do we put up with Chicago? Why does Al Sharpton put up with Chicago? Why does Benjamin Crump put up with Chicago? Why do they put up with Baltimore? Why do they put
they
up with
Chicago.
These? You know what they blame Chicago on? Guns being imported from outside in Indiana. Well, who's importing the guns? Your gang members, your drug gangs. So who's doing this?
All right. To be continued. We're going to talk about the Trump indictment. Finally, justice has been served, and President Trump's going up the river for his many, 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 many crimes. So we'll be talking about that during the 9 a.m. hour. We're going to hear from Stephen Portnoy from CBS on the Trump indictment. We'll finish our conversation about common sense changes in gun laws that'll make us safer. And we'll have open phones. This is WDKOK Sunbury.
News Radio 1070 WKOK presents On the Mark. It's a chance to voice your opinion on the events that affect life in the Susquehanna Valley. Now, here are your hosts for On the Mark, Mark Lawrence and Ben Reichle.
Greetings. Welcome on board WKOK's live telephone talk show, On the Mark. I'm Mark Lawrence. Ben Reichle is here. Fine local business person. He is a conservative, actual Republican, Republican committee person.
American first.
Businessman.
American first.
He and 200 of his friends own a business over in Sealands Grove.
Yeah.
Employee owned, right? Rob Sanders, our fabulous producer.
And now we're going to
I'm Mark Lawrence, a terrible liberal. I portray one on the radio. Not
subpar, right? Which is good on the golf course.
But elsewhere,
good on the golf
not
course.
As good.
Well, let's go get enlightened by Mr. Portnoy down in D.C.
Stephen Portnoy is on the line from CBS in Washington. Good morning, sir. Thank you so much for calling in.
Hey, good morning, gentlemen.
Appreciate this. The specifics of this indictment, we hear it's political and they never really did anything wrong. What's real specific in here that the president is accused of?
Well, I don't know the specifics. Nobody does, because the indictment remains under seal. It's possible it could be unsealed before Tuesday's hearing, but the former president is due in a Miami federal courtroom at 3 p.m. on Tuesday, and he'll stand for the initial appearance as the charges are read in open court. The indictment is expected to lay out with specifics the charges against the former president. But what we've learned is that this obviously involves the classified documents that he kept at Mar-a-Lago, the way he handled those documents, and the accusation that he conspired with those around him to obstruct the federal government's efforts to retrieve those documents. And that is perhaps the most damaging allegation, not the fact that he had the documents in his possession, but that he sought to prevent the government from taking them back.
It's very, very early, but are you starting to hear that this may hurt his Teflon reputation? Is anyone saying, well, this is going to be one of the things that will make him a little less electable?
I think the only candidate that I've seen who said that is Asa Hutchinson, and I don't think this will necessarily redound to his benefit. But so far, some of the other Republican candidates, whether it's Ron DeSantis or even Mike Pence, who blasted the former president in his announcement earlier this week, they've indicated that it's their view that the Justice Department should not be pursuing this case.
And Stephen, one thing on
Ben
this,
Reichle.
I'm sorry, Ben Reichle here. Appreciate you being with us this morning. But one thing it looks at, and talking to some folks in Washington and being involved a little bit with some information coming back in Harrisburg, our state capital, yesterday. But one of the things that seems to be, until it's unsealed, it's hard to understand the consistency or inconsistency of these cases between President Trump, President Biden, Vice President Pence, even going back to Hillary Clinton. But again, what these documents mean to these officials when they leave office. So people seem to be asking me, goes, do you think this is consistent? Is this equitable? And I said, well, it's Department of Justice. They seem to make up the rules or the benchmarks. Are you hearing some of the rumblings of the inconsistencies?
Well, that is the argument that the former president himself is making, that whatever he did is either just as bad or not as bad as what Joe Biden did or Hillary Clinton did or Mike Pence did. But the argument that the prosecutors, I think, are prepared to make is the idea that what former President Trump did is demonstrably worse, because it wasn't just the fact that he swept up a whole bunch of papers and took them with him without knowing what he had. They may be prepared, based on reporting, to indicate that he knew what he had, that he knew he wasn't supposed to have it, that he kept it anyway, and when the federal government, first the National Archives and then the Justice Department, came after to say, hey, listen, sir, we need the documents, we know you have them, please give them back, he said, okay, we'll give you some of these, but not the others. And there's this audio tape that was reported in the last couple of weeks where he was being interviewed by Mark Meadows, his biographer, and they discussed a particular document having to do with a plan to strike Iran. And the indication, according to the reporting, is that the former president said, this is classified, I shouldn't have it, but I still have it, or something along those lines. This is the reporting. I have not heard the tape, but it's believed to be in the possession of prosecutors and could be used against the former president at trial. The bigger picture is, when the FBI went in that raid in August of last year, they took out 100 documents with classification markings, even after the former president caused his attorneys to sign a document that said that he had no more classified materials in his possession. The only argument he can lean on then is, well, those documents might say they're classified, but they're really not classified. And how do you prove that? How do you win that argument? It might be up to a jury to decide.
Well, it'll be interesting, because this case looks like it will be in South Florida. It won't be in D.C., where we have seen what happens to people in D.C. if you're on one side of the aisle or the other. But one of the things, Stephen, seems to be just frustrating from the standpoint is how much, I'll use politely, how much jello can they throw against the wall and what's going to stick? Because the FBI, DOJ, some of these, the credibility factor seems to be going down, down, down with these groups. So even if they would have an airtight case, people are still questioning if the name Donald Trump creates this problem or the name Joe Smith doesn't create this problem.
Right. So the question is the former president being targeted because of his politics? That's also an argument that he's making. This idea that that there's warfare because of the fact that he is a contender for the presidency, that he is leading his fellow Republicans in the polls, and that he may be in position to defeat Joe Biden. Look, that's the argument he's going to make to the public. I think in a court of law, the question becomes, what are the charges? Are they legitimate? Do they stand up? Can they be proven beyond a reasonable doubt? And that'll be up to a jury of the former president's peers to decide, if it gets that far. If a judge allows these charges to move forward and denies a motion to dismiss, if the jury hears all the evidence and returns a guilty verdict, well, then the question becomes, well, can the former president successfully run as a candidate for office from jail or from prison? It's apparently been attempted before, never successfully, but there's nothing in the Constitution that prohibits it. Bigger, broader question you asked about the legitimacy of this process, I think that's ultimately something that the prosecutors are probably weighing, but they're moving forward anyway. Because they believe that what happened here, they seem to believe what happened here was so egregious that they need to make sure that the public understands that there's accountability.
Well, that's a little interesting.
I think the only other thing I'd say is that, this is all extraordinary stuff, and the reason it's happening in South Florida appears to be not just the question of whether it disabuses the former president of the claim that he would face an unfair jury in D.C., which votes 9 out of 10 times for Democrats instead of Republicans, but in South Florida, where the former president performed better than he did in D.C., significantly better, but still lost in Palm Beach County, it would be the jurisdiction where the offense took place. So it is meant, it seems, to eliminate and remove that argument from Donald Trump's defense attorney.
We're talking to Stephen Portnoy, a CBS News correspondent in Washington, D.C. If I were the president's lawyer, I would almost always be upset at him because he's constantly Truth Social and talking and doing interviews and saying things out of turn that I would ask my client not to talk about this case. Can he make this worse? Can he talk about this, expose more things, say what he did, give more details and make his defense more difficult?
He sure could. I mean, if he were to say something like, you know, yeah, I knew I had those documents and I knew I wasn't supposed to, that would be an admission that he had done something wrong and knew it. But his arguments so far have mainly been in the idea that, you know, these government documents were... It's interesting because he's actually played both sides of this. He said that the Presidential Records Act establishes a framework, and this is all true, that allows a former president to determine for himself what is government property and what is personal property. When there have been challenges in the past, the courts have deferred to the former president to make that judgment, make that decision. But in turning over so many of the documents that he did turn over prior to the raid, there's an understanding that he admitted himself that there was material in his possession that he should not have. And so once you say that, there may have been some sort of error in your own judgment that, you know, oh, this was a mistake. Yes, we agree that these are classified documents and we'll turn them over to you. And we understand that they have to be carefully handled with a certain amount of security. You can't then say we've turned over everything that meets that qualification and then find out that there's the FBI going in, taking out 100 more documents, some of them labeled top secret, because it indicates a degree of criminality and of behavior that it was meant to evade or violate the law.
Well, Stephen, one last question here before we finish up. I'd be interested in your opinion on the timing of this, meaning what we saw this week with Congressman Comer coming out with the Biden administration. We see some of the information coming out in the SARS report. We heard even a couple weeks ago with the Durham report that got play in certain segments of the media, didn't get play in others. But then all of a sudden, we get an indictment of President Trump. We see the Biden family sort of moving around. I don't want to say musical chairs, but it seems to be... That came out Tuesday, Wednesday. All of a sudden, the Trump information comes out on Thursday.
Oh, so look, I can't, obviously, I can't speak to the Justice Department's timing on this. I mean, it was news to us, too, last night. Look, I think that the Justice Department runs a risk the closer the Republican primary process gets underway. I mean, this is now, we're in June. The first debates, if the former president's going to participate in them, are only a couple of months away. I think that they must have realized that the clock was ticking, that they had intense pressure to make a decision before the political process got further underway. I think that, I'm actually also curious because it's the same special counsel, Jack Smith, who's also investigating the former president regarding January 6th and efforts to overturn the election and perhaps spark the Capitol riot. And it's the same prosecutor that's moving forward with the classified documents charge in South Florida. Is this the last we've heard from Jack Smith? Is he going to pursue only this case? We don't know the answer to that yet.
All right. Well, thank you so much.
We appreciate it.
Thank you for the information and the analysis. All very much appreciated. We will be paying attention to this, and we'll keep following this. Thank you, sir.
You bet.
Very much appreciated. Stephen Portnoy of CBS News, 15 years for CBS in Congress and in the White House covering things.
Spent some time in Syracuse, New York.
Right. That's all we know.
And he thawed out.
Okay. Right. He's since thawed out. All right. So to be continued. Well, we'll open up the phones. The President Trump indictment, our current topic. So you can call us now, 570-743-9565. You can email us at onthemark@wkok.com and text us at 70236. Let's do some very brief news headlines after we take a quick break. We'll be right back.
There's something to be said about a sale with a handshake. A service technician who really knows what he's doing. They can explain it in English what the problem is. There's nothing better than having that friend you could trust in the area. That's Sunbury Motors, where you get selection, knowledgeable salespeople, and prices that fit your budget, and more important, that friend you can trust. Welcome to Sunbury Motors, Kia, Ford, and Hyundai. You could shop other dealers and compare prices, but at Sunbury Motors, you get their lowest price promise. They research the current used vehicle market and guarantee their used car prices are the lowest. If you find a lower price, Sunbury Motors will beat it. Three dealers all in one. See their full new and pre-owned inventory at sunburymotors.com. Pick out a vehicle you like and schedule your test drive online. Follow them on Facebook. Sunbury Motors Ford and Hyundai, North 4th Street, Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf.
All right, we're going to open up the phone lines at one split. Well, they're open now, but folks are going to have to stay in queue for a short time because I got to do the brief news headlines and remind folks on the mark is sponsored by the Sunbury Motor Company. Please go to sunburymotors.com. Do as I've done. I've had two free lunches at the restaurant because I bought two trucks over the years.
Oh, did you? You got two free? Okay. Yeah, well, that means you test drove them and then bought them that day. Mm. Or let's say within 48 hours. We're gonna put Clocky on the clock. So if you test drive a car on Tuesday and you buy on Wednesday, that still counts. You buy, you test drive Thursday, you buy on Friday. Okay. And, you know, especially now if you can get out with the air clear, yep. Sit in the deck at Penn's Tavern.
70 degrees outdoors. Mm-hmm. It's going to be nice. All right. Our telephone number is 570-743-9565. That's 570-743-WKOK. Email us, as two individuals have done, about President Trump at onthemark@WKOK.com. You can text us at 70236. Include the keyword OTM. We do have some texts as well. Brief news headlines here. A Bucknell professor says get used to it because of the climate warming. Wildfires will get worse. Smoke will be more frequent. Dr. Professor Collins says particulate matter pollution is already rampant in our environment. It's relatively unheard of in the East Coast, but he said obviously this weather system contributed to that. He has some tips on improving indoor air quality at WKOK.com. Nearly two-thirds of Pennsylvania is under what's termed a moderate drought. No official DEP designation yet.
Stream western counties to as much as 50% below average for the eastern three quarters. That trend has continued in the early days of June. The National Drought Mitigation Center reports a swath from northwest to southeast Pennsylvania is under a moderate drought, with the rest considered abnormally dry. The State Department of Environmental Protection has not declared a drought watch or warning, as its main indicators are still within normal parameters at this time. Tory Gates, News Radio, 1070 WKOK.
AP reporting, a former federal prosecutor who led sweeping corruption investigations in Allentown and Reading said Wednesday he's running for state attorney general, becoming the second Democrat to seek the office next year. Joe Kahn, age 47, recently left his job as solicitor in Bucks County before announcing he's seeking the state attorney general's job. He joins Eugene DePasquale, announcing a candidacy there. No Republicans have announced yet. Other news, back in the 70s and 80s, the war on drug made fentanyl test strips illegal. Now more states are decriminalizing because of the number of fatal overdoses from fentanyl. People think they're buying one form of illegal drug and are accidentally getting fentanyl, which is much stronger. The approach flies in the face of the old thinking that anything to do with drugs should be illegal. So the more test strips are becoming legal in the U.S. We talked about gun violence. A six-year-old boy shot his baby brother twice in Detroit Wednesday night in the latest incident of children getting a hold of an unattended gun. Shot his brother with a 9mm recently. And President Trump, not to let the opportunity go by, said that the indictment against him for illegally keeping classified documents is BS.
They come after me because now we're leading in the polls again by a lot against Biden and against the Republicans by a lot. But we're leading against Biden by a lot, a tremendous amount. And we went up to a level that they figure the way they're going to stop us is by using what's called warfare. And that's what it is. This is warfare for the law.
And, of course, he was eager to point out that President Biden and other politicians have taken classified documents home with them. And he thinks that President Biden still has some classified documents next to the weed trimmer in his garage in Rehoboth.
In Wilmington?
No, nope, Rehoboth.
To the Corvette.
He has two weed trimmers.
Is that an electric Corvette?
No, it is not. It's a V8.
Going back to something fairly serious, Pennsylvania should go into a drought watch.
Now.
It is not getting any better. Be proactive. The governor should talk to DEP and those administrative folks and move into it now instead of waiting another 2 weeks, because there's nothing on the radar, Mark, that shows...
2 week out, still no rainmakers. You know, thunderstorms, but that's
it. This also, and you heard it here first, this also could affect the fireworks on the July 4th weekend, which actually July 4th is a Tuesday, but that whole weekend celebration if it keeps getting dry.
Okay, 570-743-9565 is our telephone number. Bill, thanks for patience. Thank you for waiting. Go right ahead. You're on the mark.
Hey, just to go over classified and declassified. So say if Little Rocket Man and Trump last year came to Sunbury for a meeting, right? Everything up to that event, as far as security, where it was going to be held, everything is classified, right? After the meeting is done, everything is stamped. All the paperwork is stamped, classified, classified, classified. Now, after the meeting is completed, it's declassified, right? So Trump had stuff that was declassified because the meeting in Sunbury is over. It has nothing to do with being classified. You understand that the as far as stuff being stamped classified, so, and after a meeting, it's declassified because it already happened.
So, Bill, you're saying, and this is great information because we didn't know this, that all of the stuff that the FBI is concerned with right now in this indictment has all been declassified, and it's all incidental, you know, lunch information and things like that?
Exactly.
Okay, we didn't realize that. That's news to us, right? Stephen Portnoy doesn't know that.
Well,
we'll have to tell him that.
But in what Bill's talking about, though, is talking to people in D.C., the departments overclassify everything. Okay, you and I have lunch. We'll go to our place that's helping us. We'll go to the Sunbury Sub Shop. You have a sub, I have a sub.
It's classified.
Don't tell my lovely bride.
An extra man.
But happens, and Bill, you're right, they overclassify this stuff. Then they look back and say, oh, was it important to know that Mark Lawrence went up and used the restroom? Or Mark Lawrence had a large instead of a small. And what happens is departments overclassify, so you have a bunch of garbage that shouldn't be classified that is.
But it has the seal stamp classified on
yes.
it. All the paperwork is stamped classified, but it was how they were going to shut down the roads, how they were going to do this,
yes.
how they're going to do this. But the meeting's over; it has no merit no more.
No, and
this is what we're dealing with: the trickery of the Democrats, where a president is taking out his main opponent, and this is the corruption at the highest level. I mean, and this is what we're dealing with, and they're scared. What did Trump take that when he was in office that exposes our corruption? They're so fearful. What did he declassify? What does he have? They keep going after him because I'm going to drain the swamp. What does he have? The unknown that what he does have is killing them, and they're coming after him.
Yeah, because he's not beholden to any group, and that's what concerns him. Most presidents had to be beholden to somebody. Most politicians are beholden to their donors, and you're right. Trump is a maverick. Forget about John McCain, who thought he was a maverick. John McCain walked lockstep with a lot of people. Every now and then, he stepped outside the boundary every now and then. But no, Trump is a true maverick, and he's exposing Democrats and Republicans for the farce they are. Some of these people are riding the gravy train. I mean, Mitch McConnell, if he's not the conductor, he's the second conductor of the gravy train.
And Merrick Garland and the DOJ and the FBI are all in the same boat at the highest level. I mean, there's good people in the departments, but at the highest level, the corruption is widespread, and they're scared. They're scared of Trump. They know
he gets back in there and, you know, he gets the House or the Senate, they're all done. I mean, they're done. They got to go after him. They have to keep coming after him. They have to keep coming after him.
Well, they tried it. They tried it with Russia. That didn't work. They're trying it with these other, you know, the state up in New York. They're trying there. You're going to see it here. But the inconsistencies will seem to be what Jack Smith will come up about.
Well, and the reason why they came out with this this garbage that they're coming after him with the classified, declassified, is Biden is constantly being exposed for being on the take.
Well, that's the timing of it.
It's coming to a head. And every time they're coming out with something major against Biden, they got to attack him.
Well,
for something.
That's orchestrated. Don't think that's not orchestrated, and it was. And it came out with Hunter Biden. It came out with the Biden family this week, and then Congressman Comer was out on this. And then next thing you know, all of a sudden Trump's indicted.
They're just working headlines. They know Trump's going to beat it. They 100% know Trump's going to beat it. It's all about what they could put on the headlines and what they could pound 24 hours on CNN and all these other places, and it's just a matter of trying to dirty his name with headlines.
I think they're trying to do so that President Biden will get beat. Trump is widely thought to gonna lose to President Biden if it comes to that. But if they can get Biden out, get Trump out, then they can, you know, anybody can beat Biden as long as it isn't Trump.
Listen.
That's
they're
the
already
upside.
Going after DeSantis. They're trying to put him in court because he shipped
Trump
illegal aliens to California. They're already going after him.
All right, we got you. Thank you so much, Bill. Thanks for calling in. And I did
keep
send
in
that.
Mind, keep Hurry in up. Mind, Biden had 1,850 boxes in his garage, University of Penn, Chinatown, University of Delaware, D.C., and his summer home in Rehoboth.
Was that all declassified also?
Lord knows with him.
You don't know. Hey, okay.
Vice presidents don't have the ability to take stuff. Only the president does.
He had stuff from his Senate office.
Only the president could take stuff.
All right. I got you, Bill. Thank you. And we did send a note to Stephen Portner that all the information in Trump's indictment is declassified stuff. So that is news to them. And, in fact, I just saw it on CBS.
He might call you, Bill. Watch out.
Yeah, they did. It's in the latest CBS top of the hour bulletin.
Mark, I would say meeting in Sunbury. Two things that would be classified. One would be the sales techniques of Sunbury Motors, and also the special oil and mayonnaise mix at the Sunbury Sub Shop. So those two things are probably classified.
My lovely bride sent me a note. It says there was classified information on the receipt from Penn's Tavern the other day. Two Varsteiner beers.
Ooh.
Two of them. I wasn't driving.
For medical reasons only, right?
She says that was classified.
That's the only reason I drink.
I should have stamped
my
it classified.
My doctor says I should.
All right. To be continued. All right. Well, I'm going to take a quickie break while we got a moment. We got some fantastic emails here, so we're going to read those and text. And we got a call coming in, so let's hit the button. 570-743-9565. We will be right back. More feel-good music. Thank you so much, Rob Center, our fabulous producer. One of our good listeners sends us a note, says, the MAGA excuses for Trump's crimes are amusing. Trump is toast. He will look great in orange. Two indictments down, four to go. Then
orange,
on to the convictions. Pardon me?
Orange marmalade on the toast.
All right. So thank you for that, Tom. Much appreciated. Mike from Bloomsburg. Next caller. Go right ahead. You're on the mark.
Yeah, where to start? I'm so kind of upset about this situation, but the thing that I think is the funniest is my friends on the left saying that this proves no one is above the law. I mean, come on, guys. You know, open your eyes, open your ears. Look what's been going on here for the last 6 years or 7 years, whatever it's been.
Yeah.
Now the other thing that is bothering me, too, is finally, and this is off of Trump for a second, off of these fires up there in Canada. Mm-hmm. Well, listen, what we experienced was basically like the perfect storm. You know, it kind of reminded me of the blizzard of '96, except we were getting hit with the smoke. I mean, everything was in place. The wildfire season in Canada has started just a little bit earlier, okay, and most likely going to end a little bit earlier too. But the bottom line is wildfires up there are normal. They happen. But because of the low pressure area, because of the air circulation, because of the time of the year, and the persistence of that low, that smoke happened to get here, and it was absolutely terrible. Okay, and I admit that, but the idea that you can tie this in to some ongoing catastrophe, is really kind of inane. To me, it is. Anyway, maybe I'm wrong.
Well,
but one thing that. Go ahead.
If I can put this out, so you've done the macro side. So here's the micro side of this. And like I said earlier, spending time in California, you understand. Okay, there's something called land management. And the government and other governments, other countries being Canada, are horrendous at it. California is so bad at it, Nevada, the western states. So if you're ever out in the western states, and Mike, we'll give you time, so I'm not going to take your time. But
sure.
California, folks, California, it rains from November to April, basically Thanksgiving to Easter, plus or minus. It gets green. California is an arid climate. After that, they tell you it's golden. It's called the Golden State. It's brown. Been there, seen it. Lived it, but you see it. So when they have fires, it just burns. So if they have a heavy rain season like they did this year, most likely they're going to have a heavy fire season. And now people who are moving to California in the last 30 years, now they are leaving because of taxes and political policies. But there's more people there that the fires will affect. So it's an arid climate. So years ago, there was huge fires on the California-Nevada border around Lake Tahoe. Mark Lawrence, Mike, yourself, we're neighbors. We clear our brush out underneath, which is somewhat illegal because the environmentalists want you touching nothing. So our houses don't burn. But Joe and Smitty down the road, they didn't do that. Their houses burned. So the land management is a key. Government does it very, very poorly. Part of the problem up in in Canada was they had lack of snowfall this year, which is, it's a cycle. It changes every year. But also, these are on government land. This isn't on private land. So that's part of the problem is we don't manage land very well.
All right, Mike, what's your view on that?
Yeah, well, I mentioned that earlier in the week. In those western states, you're not allowed to cut fire roads anymore. You're not allowed, like you said, to clear underbrush. When you have a disease come in and wipe out a bunch of trees, you can't harvest those trees. You have to let nature take its course. And when you allow that, and then you put people in the path of those woods, downwind, when you get a fire, it happens. You're going to get fires. And like I said, you hit the nail on the head, but you're preaching to the choir when it comes to land management, okay? I liken it to living in the Susquehanna Valley, like in Williamsport or Sunbury. Hey, you put a dike up to keep from getting flooded. You try to manage the river, and you put retention reservoirs upstream to lower the crest. As time goes on, more and more people build runoff increases. You try to make changes so that you're not going to overtop the dikes. That's called river management. We need forest management, but evidently the people that don't want anything like that don't really care about what happens when you have a big fire. And to me, not having proper management of your forests, that's a crime.
All right,
you're allowing something to happen. Now, the last thing I want to say, I want to say this quickly.
Hurry up.
Right now, all the people that I know that have come from foreign countries, like Lebanon, Greece, Cuba, those people are terrified in their shoes. They see what's happening in the United States, and they've seen it happen before where they came from.
All right, we got you. Thank you so much, Mike. Thanks for calling in. Chris, next up, please go right ahead.
I guess it never occurred to Ben that the Republicans' timing on this is also a coordinated defensive strategy.
Well, it's just in response, though. They didn't set up the time.
I think they were ahead of
Yes, it's in response to Trump doing illegal things. Yeah,
no, it wasn't. It was in response
to making up stuff.
It was in response to the Biden
doing
people.
Empty threats against Biden.
No, there's no empty threats. The FBI held that. That's your opinion, Christian. The facts don't back it up, because why would the FBI now finally release this information to the whole committee, not just the chair and the vice chair?
Because they didn't want to be he didn't want to be
nice try.
What?
It doesn't fly, Chris. They were what? The FBI
was
caught red-handed.
Ben, you seem to know what I was going to say.
No,
so
it doesn't fly. What you're going to say because
please.
The FBI was held. They were caught red-handed. They didn't want to release it. They called a special meeting. Then after that, they released it to the whole committee. So the Biden information is coming out now. The DOJ, the DOJ said, "Okay, we got to go after Trump." So they go after Trump on a Thursday night. Which is a strange time to go after. Usually you want Monday, Tuesdays.
Media ratings are very high on Thursdays. That's part of it.
Well, maybe he didn't want publicity.
Wrong night. You do that Friday night if you don't want publicity.
Yeah,
you
that's
Thursday.
Right.
Or you do it Thursday
pretty
night.
Pretty close to it, though, huh?
No. Actually, Thursday and Friday are the big media
days. Actually, they were showing signs they were going to do
it. That's the media dump.
So everybody
that's
knew
like
it.
It's lost in
yeah,
space.
Friday night is the media dumping.
Thursday and Fridays are media dump. If you want your press release out, you release it Monday, Tuesday.
Wednesday night is the key time. Then isn't you have Thursday morning.
Isn't Wednesday night spaghetti night still?
Not.
I think you're making it up as you go along, or you don't know what you're talking about. I don't know which it is.
Me or Ben?
But in any case...
Or you, Chris.
I would like for people to know that all that stuff about Hillary's emails that they trumped up so much, most of the classified material that was being talked about in her emails were her meeting schedules, which are classified before the meeting takes place. And now all of a sudden, Republicans, like your last caller, they're all psyched on this on these fine technicalities. Although it's not true, nobody knows what he said was true. And in fact, some people and the examples they've hinted at or been rumored, it isn't true
what,
in that
from,
case.
From anonymous
but
sources,
true about Hillary Clinton, and what were they? That was Republicans and Ben and everybody chanting.
We're not chanting, Chris. We're talking. No, we're not chanting that. And the key word you said was most. So most. So what's most? 80%? 90%? So what about the other 20 and 10%?
I think it was 9 out of 12.
Okay. So what's the percentage on that? And then say, okay, so what were the others then classified important? And plus, she had a server in her closet.
There was nothing important in any of it.
Oh, that's not what Comey said on July 3rd.
Name one thing that you've had. The emails were released. You saw them. Tell me, what was important? You can't even remember.
The classified information she had, and then she scrubbed her server, and they destroyed their IT, the phones and other things.
How did the Trump people handle their classified
Hold on, Chris. We're not talking about Trump. We're talking about Clinton.
How did the Trump people do their classified
We're talking about Clinton destroying her server and destroying the phones.
Can you answer me that?
Chris, we're talking about Clinton. And then did Trump destroy a server? Did they destroy phone records? I haven't seen
destroyed that. Destroyed phone records.
Well, they did? When did they do that?
They destroyed... No,
they destroyed their phones that had the records on them, Chris.
Somebody to do it long before it was under subpoena.
And why would you do that? Because you probably want to get rid of them. Chris, your information seems to be sketchy.
Yes, they probably want to get rid of them. You want all your personal information and calls?
These weren't personal information.
These
were government. These were government. You keep making excuses, and it doesn't fly, Chris. Sorry.
But it was all the phones.
It was all. Okay, you said most, and now you say all.
Everything got released, though.
Yeah, no, it didn't, because it was destroyed, Chris. It couldn't get released if it's destroyed.
Everything got released. They got it all from other sources, because it was sent to somebody too.
Is that
Ben.
Uma? Is that
it was
Uma
sent to somebody too.
And the other. It wasn't, Chris, and it was destroyed. Once it was destroyed, they couldn't recoup it. So anyway,
they recouped it all.
They did not, Chris. And please, if they did, call next Friday and tell us. Because Chris, as wrong as you are most of the time, you're very wrong this time.
Okay, I'll say 90% of it was recovered.
Okay, so 10%. So then 10% was classified.
No, most of it wasn't classified. I was talking about all the phone records.
Okay. Call next Friday with that information, because I believe
it came out.
It didn't come out, Chris.
Out. Never mind. Then quit
Please
arguing
send
about it.
It.
We
Please
disagree.
Send it to
none
Mark.
None of us can point to anything right
I
now.
Tell you what we,
so
I'll tell you what we agree on,
okay?
though, Chris. I'll tell you what we agree on. The St. Louis Cardinals need to get their head out of their behinds
right,
and start playing
along.
Baseball.
Heads okay.
Thank you, Chris.
Trump was actually guilty of things
and didn't cooperate held out held stuff secretly and lied to them about it.
In your opinion, Chris?
They can't even prove Biden knew he had any classified information, so there's no way he can be prosecuted for it.
Well, Chris, right, it's good that you're judge and jury.
You see the difference there? You understand the difference, Ben?
No. I only went to junior college.
No, I don't
college.
Think you do. You have to have knowledge of you have to have knowledge and intentionality in those laws.
I'll try to find that
yes,
this week.
Yes, you do, Ben.
I'll try to find that this weekend.
All right, we got you, Chris.
Okay.
Thank you so much, sir.
Please do.
Much appreciated. All right. Rare finding a fact on this show. We appreciate Chris's calls. All right, I got to hit the button. We'll be right back. We got 1, 2, 3 fabulous emails and 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 texts. So we'll get to those.
We got the end of the show.
We got a caller standing by, 570-743-9565. We will be right back.
Want to work for a stable yet growing company? Got it. Want to work for a family-owned business with over 100 years' experience in taking care of customers and employees? Got it. Want to work for a leader in selling more cars and satisfying more customers? Got it. Who has all that? SMC Sunbury Motor Company is looking for technicians across all their departments. Whether you're an entry-level technician, an experienced technician, or someone looking for a career change, Sunbury Motors would love to hear from you. They're looking for technicians for their quick lane, car and light truck service, heavy truck service, body shop, and frame and alignment division. You can apply online at sunburymotors.com, in person at our North 4th Street location, or call Todd at 570-286-7746. Your new career of working on Fords, Kias, Hyundais, Western Star trucks, plus anything that fits in the door,
and some things that don't.
Alrighty.
We're going to start here.
I better do Doug or we're going to get in the doghouse here. Let's see. One of our listeners, Craig, sent us an email. It's 700 words, so it's way too long. If you can summarize it, I can do it, or I'll summarize it and you won't be happy about
well,
that.
You might as well read the first three lines of this one and the last three lines.
Okay. While the liberals and media are excited about the latest indictment of President Trump, have you seen any of the releases of the videos from January 6th? If you just watch the cable news, then of course you haven't. You need to look for it. It shows Capitol Police opening doors in the back, almost welcoming protesters in. Some in MAGA gear are shouting for people to go, 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 meaning go into the Capitol whichever way possible. Also, video shows Nancy Pelosi and other congressmen calmly walking through the hallways as the so-called attack is happening, and Pelosi's daughter is filming all this while walking backwards and to the side of the group like she's shooting for a movie or something. It's so obvious this day was a setup, an entrapment by our government so they could use this day against Trump and probably pass an indictment on him for this as well. The point is, our government and justice system has been weaponized to keep President Trump out, no matter what. And they will do whatever it takes to do so. That is why this latest indictment is also laughable, as many other presidents have probably done the same thing and much worse, says Doug.
Points well taken there.
Yep,
again.
I got it.
And nobody, Mark, it was an insurrection that nobody's being charged for an insurrection, which is quite interesting.
Thank you, Doug.
So you were speeding in your car. I pull you over.
It's entrapment.
And I give you, you misread the signs. I give you a little ticket for misreading the speed limit sign.
Joe, you're on the mark.
All right, if I can get through this, a little bit of history here. But hopefully we learn from our mistakes, right? But better yet, it's better if we learn from others' mistakes. So during the Eisenhower administration, at the end, Eisenhower warned us about the military-industrial complex. And then, of course, his vice president was Richard Nixon. So Nixon got the presidency and went through, and he did stop the war in Vietnam. So that's one thing that he did against the military-industrial complex. They didn't like that. So they had to get Nixon out, right? And they got the Watergate issue up and running, but it straddled the next election. They didn't get the Watergate to a culmination before the next election. So Nixon had a landslide victory over McGovern, right? So they knew that the people, he even won the popular vote, I believe it. I don't know that much about it right off the top of my head, but I believe he won the popular vote, and it was a landslide anyhow. So then Nixon...
What's the relevance of this, Joe? We're talking about President
it'll
Trump.
It'll get to Biden, right? So he couldn't.
Well, fast
Nixon
forward.
Couldn't get out. They couldn't get him out before 72. So what the Democrats are now learning is that they want to get Biden to straddle this election as they did Nixon, but then they're going to have the vice president because Nixon didn't have his vice there was no vice president in place because they got Agnew out also. So what the Democrats have learned from that is that they want Biden to win in 24, and instead of having the chaos that the Republicans have, they're going to have their vice president in place that they want, even if it is Kamala, I'm not sure at this point, but they'll have that person in place to take over for a smooth transition.
Well, how are they going to do that?
The Republicans didn't have.
How are they going to do that?
They're going to... Well, Democrat, everyone's
Kamala,
saying that.
Kamala Harris is...
I don't think that they can. I think Biden is deteriorating too fast, and that's part of their problem, if that's what you mean.
How are they going to win in 24? How are they going to get rid of a woman of color that the only reason she's vice president
right.
is because
okay,
she's a woman
so
of color?
So I agree that she would be the one, and she would be a vessel also, like Biden, right?
Well, it's a disaster for the Democrats. The Democrats have no bench.
Biden was a little bit healthier. I think... when he took over, you know, when he was sworn in, he wasn't in all that bad of condition. If you look at some of his mannerisms and that, he seems to be with it a lot more. So one problem that they're going to have is if he deteriorates even more over the next 2 years, it's going to be hard for some people in the middle to vote for him.
Well, the problem is their timing. The clock is ticking.
Right.
And
I agree
that.
But if he was strong and healthy...
but Mark was strong.
They're trying to avoid what happened to Nixon. They have learned that they want the person in place.
I got you.
Win,
okay.
But they want to get the vice president in place because they know that Biden's not going to make another 4 years.
Well, they got the vice president in place. They can't change her. There is no way, unless she leaves herself.
That's not my point. It's the point that they learned from Nixon.
No, they didn't.
I agree.
What did they
learn
from
Nixon? I said I don't
know
if it's going to be Kamala.
What did they learn from Nixon?
But she'll be the vessel that they want.
All right, we got you. Thank you so much, Joe.
Right.
Thank you. Yeah, very good theory. One of our good listeners says, Chris, you can't make excuses for the FBI obstructing Congress by not releasing unclassified documents to them. Hey, Tom, why do you support a traitor who took a $5 million bribe to affect USA policy in Ukraine? The fascist Democrats are despicable. How would you people feel if Trump gave Russia some top secrets? And as for the timing of charging the twice impeached Trump, they have 1 year to file charges. Busted, says Bob. Another one says, constitutional rights are not to be licensed by the government. Only tyrants demand individuals' permission to exercise their rights. That's talking about our gun discussion. Eric is anti-freedom, and that was back to the gun discussion also. And then finally, the longest email we've ever received here.
You read it on Monday, right?
I'll still be reading on Monday if I start now. First and last paragraph, President Trump has been indicted for the exact crime that was also committed by Hillary Clinton and Joe Biden. Well, that's false. But anyway, the only difference is Hillary and Biden weren't presidents and had no authority. Last paragraph, the whole fraudulent legal pursuit of Trump and the Mar-a-Lago raid is designed to serve the Democrats in two ways, eliminate Trump and protect Obama's legacy.
Congratulations, Seals. Baseball, you didn't go as far, but you went far. And also, memorial for Charlie Attic tomorrow.
All
if you
right.
drive on 1115, think of Charlie Attic.
Salute, Charlie Attic. Yeah, 40 years ago. Good for you. You're listening to News Radio 1070 WKOK Sunbury. We'll see you on Monday for On the Mark.